evening, glory, hallelujah to you. What the heck's your story and what's going through you? This is the glorified version of a Bass and Talk show. I'm your host, Pat Renwick. And Bass Galaxy, guess what? We're back at it. We're back in the saddle. Hello. Give it up for yourselves, Bass Galaxy. It's a dadgum Wednesday night. The feeling's all right. Yes, we have returned from our trip on the road to the North Country. And thanks again to everybody at BASS for the warm accommodations as well as the Fighter family. We had a great time out there in the North and hanging out with our guy, the Whiskey Gypsy. Yeah, that was fun. Hey, Ginge, we got the Cowboy back again. Hey, yeah, Joey Cifuentes. Yes. Two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champ, rookie, is back on the show again. We're excited about it. I've been talking to Joey today, and he's still all pumped up from the victory last week. Hey, look at this. Look at this. Like and share. Speaking of Joey, like and share the live Facebook feed. I just got this text, and Joey's giving away a signed cowboy hat. He is. Yeah. I know it's unfair to the podcast people tomorrow. Yeah, but if you're liking and sharing this on the Facebook feed, we put you in a randomizer and you get a chance to win a Joey Cifuentes signed cowboy hat. I like that. I like all that. And that's not it. Get this. Berkeley stepping it up. A wheelbarrow full of flatworms. That's right. Two prizes, two separate chances tonight on the glorified version of the Bass and Talk Show. Chat along with your guy, JR, Rockin' Shoal Fantasy. He's pumping out the good time chats, the Chatty Cathys, the Stray Chats. Let JR know you want to win the Cowboys hat. I want to win it. Everybody wants the Cowboys hat. Andy, ladies and gentlemen, he's the greatest producer to ever come out of Northwest Indiana to do a bass fishing talk show. He's right on the head.
Right?
Just like a producer should be. He's Andrew Ellenberger, the Ginger Ninja, and he's extra red because he just came back from Walt Disney World.
Yeah, what's up, Pat?
Yeah, bud.
What's up, Bass Galaxy?
Are you excited, Ginge?
Very, yeah.
I'm always excited. And we're back. After, when we're off a couple weeks, it's like, you know, I really get anxious. This is what we do, Ginge. Yeah. And I got to tell you, when I was out there at the bass stuff, people are bitching to me.
Why?
They're bitching about me and you.
They're mad at us?
They're mad at me and you.
Oh, what?
Because we don't do enough shows.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's not the first time.
Ginge, this is the dawning of Bassquarius right now. We're discovering different things right now. And after the Clun show, we're all messed up. But but for real, like we so Ginge, they're like, Pat, how come you and the Ninja aren't doing more shows? I'm like, man, we're getting it back. It's getting back into the groove. You know what I mean? The
elites. It's summer, man.
It's summer. It's time. It's dawning of Bassquarius.
Yeah, settle down.
Yeah, we're gonna be. We got plenty of stuff and a whole bunch of into the great wide opens.
Yeah,
coming at you.
Those
guys. Yeah, those guys are all sauced up. You know what I mean? They're ready to go. They're ready to talk.
It's gonna be a busy. Yeah. We're good.
James, you're a derber.
I am.
Yeah, you got a big derb. Yeah, you got a big derb this weekend. You need to win.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to win.
Got to try to.
Did you learn anything about winning in the Magic Kingdom when you...
It was hot, man. I was a little phased.
So you were not in Smallmouth Disneyland? You were in...
No.
Okay, gotcha.
I was not.
Hey, we want to say a special thanks to Rick and Melissa Klun. Thank you to the Klun family for the awesome tie-dye shirts that Melissa and Rick sent on over to the Straight Cast Bunch. There are a few propers that have been bequeathed the shirts right now. Hey, all right, let's get to this again. Hey, it's summertime, and it's time to go shopping for summer doldrum-type baits. You know what I mean? It's tough out there. It's tough in the summer, although it's a weird year. I think it's like the blood moon. It's the blood moon rising, the blood moon creeping. You know, that's messing everything else. But you know what? You can shop by lake at Omnia. So say they're smashing them, over at the deal over there on the Minnetonka, and you put that in, boom, it's there. Oh, say you're on Lake Eufaula. Oh, what's going on there? Boom, you put it in. Cure for the summer doldrums, shop by lake. OmniaFishing.com. Ginge, I've been slicing the heck out of life with WhiteRiverKnives.com. Slicing it. WhiteRiverKnives.com. They are an American family-owned business. Handmade, custom-built, fixed blade knives for you, the Bass Galaxy. Whether it's for the kitchen, whether it's for the camper, whether it's for the boat, whether it's for the home, wherever it is, whether you want to carry it around where it's legal, that you can do it. WhiteRiverKnives.com/stray. Did I get it, Andy? I got it. WhiteRiverKnives.com/stray. There's such a problem with that. Sorry, Han Solo. I was so excited I knocked Han Solo over. All right. Didn't do it. It's Wednesday night. You're feeling right. Hey, what I saw in St. Clair from quite a few of the Impulse Lithium guys was zero problems. The dang things are out there in Clair all day. Bouncy, 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 bouncing. I mean, I saw it all day. It was awesome. Just holding up the magic of the Impulse Lithium battery doing the deal right there. Hey, how are we doing on the other perimeter of the Bass Galaxy right now, Andy? Oh, I want to say a special congratulations to KVD. Congratulations on your retirement, bud. You deserve it. Sorry, James, I threw a loop for you, but I went back in my notes and I forgot to congratulate the GOAT. Any winder out there, I think that he has influenced this as so many other ways that KVD has done. KVD, you're amazing. Thanks for that part of the bass in history. So I guess one thing that you find out is if you're looking for a little bit of bass in trouble, you take your whiskey home. Wow! Ah, yeah! It's a whiskey gypsy!
What's going on?
Nothing, man. Foley, you are super red right now. You're super tanned from our trip to the one of those Dakotas, and then
I am.
Yeah, and also all over the Minnesota Godlands,
That's God's right country.
You look good, Foley, on the camera.
Thank you. I feel good.
Yeah,
Where's Court?
She's
bundled up under her blanket watching a movie.
What in the world? No Veronica Vaughn, and we've been off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can I call BS on this?
No, seriously.
I wanted her to help me make fun of you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so this is
what do you want her to make fun of me about?
Well, first off, that you're a jet skier, like you like jet skis, and you have a fondness for tunes. Now, pontoons are like, I get it, Zona's a tuner, so tune's a fine line, but... I mean, you just have a special passion for pontoons that I noticed.
I went out last weekend on her mom's pontoon boat with her and my daughter. My daughter and her FaceTimed me when we were out in the boat. Here, grab this. They're making fun of me. And
Veronica Vaughn. Good.
My daughter, who's very funny, said just loud enough so Seth and you could hear it as she's about to hang up. Oh, did you have fun on the pontoon last weekend, Daddy?
She knew.
You're a hybrid.
Yeah. She knew, didn't she? And
I grounded her as soon as I got home.
And immediately afterwards, Fighter says, "Ha, you're probably going to buy jet skis next, huh, Foley?"
Well, it was a few hours after that. We're skipping docks, having a great time. And he goes, "Hey, skip under that jet ski." So I did.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was going to say a good one lives under there or whatever that looked like. And he's like, "Well, you gonna start riding those soon too?"
Yeah. He is all over it. But Foley, I got to tell you, you're one of the best casters I've ever been with. Even though you broke my pinky with a Hackney 7-Eleven flipstick,
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's healed. Everything's good.
My line broke.
Yeah, when I got home, my ma kissed it. Now everything's fine. But yeah, I can move it again. But yeah, no, you're an amazing caster. But here's one thing I got to tell you. I mean, you got the 7-Eleven hack flipstick. You're jacking big smallies on a wahi, on a man jig and 20-pound line, and you're not swinging them.
Yeah, that's the other thing you guys gave me grief about.
I mean, you made me nervous. If Danny Brower were there, he'd have spanked you. He'd have pulled your britches down and spanked you in the ass.
I might fish with him this fall, so hopefully you don't tell him that story.
Don't do that. Don't. If you're bassing with Dan, don't go hand lining like that. He'll get so mad. But Foles, it's good to see you back here on the Straight Cast glorified version of a Bass and Talk show. And for those that don't know and are just tuning in, Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey, thanks to you and the good people at Tin Cup, has become the official brown liquor of bass fishing. Give it up for Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey. That's right. Proud athletic supporter of of fine athletes in bass fishing.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Do you want to hear the real truth why I wasn't on here today?
Say who, what, why?
Do you want to hear the real truth?
Cut the commercial.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on.
I wasn't allowed to give you guys grief for kidnapping him for three days last week.
Oh, I'm sorry you didn't have your Lukey for a couple days.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Unreal. Unreal. Now back to the show. Hey, so get this.
A whole other thing.
Hey, so Courtney.
Yes, sir.
I mean, a lot of people out there might not know what the Tin Cup Whiskey Word of the Week is. Can you tell them? What's the Tin Cup? What is the whole premise behind this Tin Cup Whiskey Word of the Week? What is it?
Oh, I did see pictures of this guy. And isn't he always wearing a cowboy hat?
Oh, no. Oh.
Cowboy.
Oh, the word's cowboy. But what I'm asking is, what the hell is the Tin Cup Whiskey Word of the Week on Straight Cast? Not exactly like what's the exact word, but what is this whole Word of the Week deal? Like, what is it? What does it mean? Anyway? Does it mean anyway?
So, now make sure you're responsible.
Yes. Well, drink responsible. Yes, 100%.
But when you hear the word of the week, you are supposed to take a sip of whatever beverage you have in front of you, whether it's coffee or Tin Cup whiskey.
I'm all coffee TF up. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you on, Foley? What you drinking?
I drank an old fashioned. I need another one.
Courtney, you on that purple drink?
I am on the red wine. Tonight.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
He's sophisticated.
So the word of the week is it when you hear cowboy, take a sip of whatever you choose and reminding you, please sip responsibly. And of course, Luke Foley, the whiskey gypsy, or Veronica Vaughn, the princess of Bassin whiskey times, whatever the hell I just said, whatever that means. They'll call you off work tomorrow. Yeah, they'll call you off work tomorrow if you need be. Foles, you got to catch up with a few bosses. By the way, we have letters for you. But hey,
I'll bribe him with booze. It always works.
All right. We got a cowboy in the mist. I think we're going to bring him on in a minute. But before we go, I would be amiss if I did not remind everybody, including you two out there. Oh, we got a special guest coming on that's going to blow your socks off. International Man of Mystery, by the way, later. Yeah, it's insane. But here's the deal. This is a cool prize. You guys can win. Jens, you can win, too. I want this for the studio. Put it in a fake name. Okay. You can like and share the live Facebook feed and have a chance to win a retired hat from the cowboy, a smelly old cowboy hat signed by 2-time Bassmaster Elite Series champion, Joey C. Fuentes. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
That's one of them. The other one, a wheelbarrow full of flatworms. New ones, not the ones Joey used. New ones.
Yeah, new ones.
Like and share the live Facebook feed. Foles. Court, you look amazing. You're our favorite Tin Cup Whiskey couple, hands down. And you know what we do around here on Straight Cast? We power pull down, baby. We power pull down for pleasures. Hey, don't go anywhere, Bass Galaxy. When we come back, it's the 2-time champ, the cowboy Joey C. Fuentes. And mystery guest, not Larry Nixon. Everybody's like, Larry Nixon. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not Nixon?
It's not
okay,
Nixon.
That was my guess.
No, it's not. It's not. See you in a minute. Put the power poles down. You'll find out. Plus, like and share cool prizes. Peace. Be right back. Getting a soda.
There's a moment when you're faced with a challenge, and just solving the problem isn't good enough. even if that means breaking the rules and shredding apart conventional ways of thinking. All in the name of creating something truly remarkable. With this much control at its command, we didn't stop with just one. We created two incredible trolling motors. Introducing the new PowerPole Move Brushless Trolling Motor. This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey.
Want to know the difference between Power Bait and other soft plastics? Ask the fish. Berkeley scientists have thousands of flavors tested on thousands of fish. Natural. Man-made. Every bait that's ever hit the water. No matter the shape, size, or color, Power Bait is the only one that has scientifically proven. Fish bite and will not let go.
Realize your boat's potential with outboard performance accessories that improve the handling, speed, and economy of your boat. Find your perfect accessory from Bob's Machine.
Welcome back. This is the glorified version of a Bassin talk show. And what a better... Not a bet. There's just no better place to find this guy right here than the... I'm waiting for Wile E. Coyote to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champion, Joey Cifuentes, the Cowboy.
What's up, guys?
Yo, Cowboy.
Thanks for having me on, Pat.
Oh, gosh. We've been waiting anxiously for this. It's our pleasure. And you really look like very Clint Eastwood-esque in this whole deal right now. For the people on the podcast tomorrow, I got to describe Joey. He's got his usual cool cowboy hat on. And then he's sitting there amidst the Great Plains drifters and mounds of somewhere in the Western Plains. And it's you look badass. I mean, you look like a two-time champion should, Joe.
Yeah, I'm just out here drifting around, man.
Tumbleweeds.
You know, just with the tumbleweeds, they're blowing by right now. Just doing what I do.
This is outstanding, by the way. I did not expect this. This is great. Where are you actually right now? Where are you besides being in the Great Plains?
I am sitting in Brighton, I think, Michigan.
Brighton, Michigan.
Flew back up here to where my truck and boat is, got my family with me, and we're getting ready to, we flew in today, so we're going to get ready to take out of here tomorrow. I'm sitting at a hotel. They let me use their conference room to do this podcast, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
We're going to start making our way towards New York, going to go through Canada, maybe stop and see the Niagara Falls from the Canadian side, and get into New York and the Adirondacks and stay there for a couple of days with the family and just relax until we start practice on Monday.
Little family vacation. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Just like Clark Griswold. I could see you as that part of Clark jamming through family vacation. I could see it.
Oh yeah.
I could see it.
Oh yeah. It'll be a mess. I mean, the kids running around screaming, but you know, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
You're over by Brighton, you said. That's like every town around there, Chad Pipkins is mayor of that town. You know that? And they have
probably.
They have life size cutouts of Chad there too, at every hair care product aisle. He's doing good. Chad's doing good over there.
He's got some good hair.
Doing good over there. But congratulations on your second victory. Wow, Joey. That's nuts, bud. Yeah. I mean, dude, that's crazy. The whole family has just got to be freaking out. It's like, you, I don't know. Everybody says, oh, has it set in yet? But I just know you've been nonstop since last week. Nonstop.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. But you know, that's what you dream of. You know, winning tournaments, and it's crazy that I've got two this year. It's, you know, I've told a lot of people this, but I had a lot of confidence going into this season, fishing on the Elite Series as a rookie. I've been doing this for a little while, you know, not very long. I think this is my fifth year, but I've just really started feeling confident in my fishing ability and the places that I've been. And I thought that I could get me one at any moment. Now it's bass fishing. Some guys fish their whole careers and never get a win. And I'm thankful to get that first one, but it's just unbelievable that I've got two, man. I mean, and the smallmouth, to do it on the smallmouth, I mean, I figured really that would kind of be where I got my first win, you know, man, this St. Clair win was a bonus, like, yeah. No doubt. And I cannot wait to get to Champlain. Can't wait to get to the St. Lawrence River. Not to say that I'm going to do great, but I've got a lot of confidence in those places. I know them fairly well, and I feel like I can do good there and have a chance to win another one.
Yeah, I think we agree. And there's a certain thing you're floating on right now. Some call it momentum. It's just more of an energy. Do you know what I mean? I guess momentum is an energy, but it seems that. So at Straycast, let me put it this way: at Straycast, we're students of the sport, and we've had champ. Our deal is we have the champs on. You know, when you win, we're honored to have you guys come on the show. You win one time, that's amazing. You win two times, and especially in that short of a period, there's something to it, Joey. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm a bass fishing freak, man. I think about this kind of stuff a lot. And I think because I like to study Klun philosophies and things as such, I study the mental side of the sport as well, and just the mental side of humans. And you fascinate me, and I'm going to tell you why. First off, the Arkansinian. Is that how you say it? Arkansasian? How do you say it?
Well, I'm going to give you two names. I'm going to give you one that I made up and the one that I think we call ourselves, or I call it's Arkansanians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are Insanians. Most of you are Arkansanians. Yes, that's true. But most of you that I know.
Yeah, and I have a good friend back in the day from Oklahoma I played baseball with in college, and he would call me an Arkabilly.
Arkabilly's so, perfect. So, I like it.
I kind of go by an Arkabilly.
And I know you have some Florida roots, but I mean, everybody considers you from Arkansas. And I mean, come on, man. Let's think about the greats that popped out of there. Who's the first great that pops into your mind out of Arkansas?
I mean, it's got to be Larry Nixon.
Okay, name another one. Name another one.
Mark. Oh, this is terrible. What's his last name?
Davis.
Davis. Mark Davis.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, I think
Mark, that's good. Mark, I'm not going to like have you name every one of them. But guys like, you know, a lot of people think of them as Louisiana, but look at Greg Heckney. You know what I mean? Old Heck.
Oh yeah, he's originally from Arkansas.
Yeah, look at Ricky Klun, bud. Ricky Klun. I mean, come on, dude. You're so all these anglers, and now you're in the mix. Joey Cifuentes, Arkansas. Rick Klun, Arkansas. Larry Klun. I mean, Larry Nixon, Larry Klun, that would be a super beast. The Arkansas. You know what I mean? Now, the Cowboy, Arkansas, you're in the mix. Two trophies. You've joined the mix, Joey. It's got to be a little freaky, right?
Yeah, I don't put myself anywhere near those guys. Nah,
I get it. I get it. And I like that you're humble, but let's be real about this. It's hard AF to win one blue trophy, all right? And people can call a single win luck. I'm on that Marshall deal with the Bassmasters, and I can only handle 2 days. You guys do four. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard enough to win one trophy, let alone two. So I appreciate your humbleness, but the Bass Galaxy respects two-time champions. You know, and that's like, it's like the Wayne's World. We're not worthy. So it's, but you're in that mix, whether you like it or not. Now get this. This is what I really want to know from you, Joey. I believe that you practice creative visualization by different things that you have said. And you have told, or I think I read it about, that you said it, that I'm going to win one of these tournaments. Going to win one of these. And you also said, I mean, then you went and won two, Joe. And then also you said, someday I'm going to win the Bassmaster Classic. So do you realize you're creatively visualizing? Do you realize that about yourself?
Yeah, I think you have to. Okay. I think you have to visualize your goals. You know, something I've always done. You got to do that to achieve them. You got to picture yourself winning those things, because it just kind of fuels you to go after them and like want to capture that moment and do it, you know, for real. So, but yeah.
So give me an example of, you said, I'm going to win one of these. And I know that you consider yourself a pretty top dog smallmouth fisherman, and we all do. When you said, I'm going to win one of these, was smallmouth on your mind and Seminole a shocker?
Yeah, it wasn't a shocker, but smallmouth, you know, I visualized myself, you know, winning a smallmouth tournament first.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I didn't really kind of just put it to smallmouth. I mean, I thought I could win, you know, maybe not a small, not a tournament like I won on Seminole. I mean, but, I definitely, you know, felt like I was going to win a smallmouth tournament first. But
why though? You're from Arkansas, born in Florida. Why do you have so much fondness for smallmouth? Why are you so good at them? You're one of them Southern boys that are great at smallmouth. Is it because of the periscope?
Man, you know how many people's asked me this question in the past week and a half?
I don't know.
A lot. and I, you know, I keep thinking about it, but, and I just love, you know, I guess part of it is we don't get to catch big smallmouth where I live. And I just have like a really deep passion for catching smallmouth. Now we have little smallmouth. Like if you catch a 3-pounder in Greers Ferry Lake where I live, it's a good fish. So,
okay. Nice.
Yeah. So like just being able to go catching 4 and 5 pounders, I guess it just gives me like maybe a little extra drive to find them and figure out where they're at and learn how to catch them. That's the only thing I can figure. I mean, besides that, I don't know. And maybe, you know, maybe it's just happenstance that I've caught done well in smallmouth places. I really don't know, Pat. I have no idea, man. I just love catching them. Love catching them. And the other part of that is, you know, Larry has taught me, like, I've got a head start on a lot of guys, because when you get Larry Nixon as your mentor, he's won 3 tournaments on St. Clair. Now, Larry didn't, the place I caught my fish on St. Clair, he had never fished before, ever. Now, he's been around in that area, but never like there. So it's not like he's giving me waypoints, but
the lawn chair wasn't there, FYI. The lawn chair was not there, Larry's lawn.
No, this was not even close to the lawn chair. but he's really, you know, I've got a head start on techniques and different things to catch smallmouth, you know, better. And so I owe a lot of that to him. I mean, really, honestly. And then I've just kind of put my own little technique in there, I guess, or my whatever, and done it myself. But he's helped me a lot. So that's a bonus.
Heck yeah, having the general as a little smallmouth coach. But I noticed that, yeah, that a lot of you Southern boys do well on the smallmouth because they're fascinating to you. It's like, oh shit, we don't have these big 18, 20-inch, 22-inch smallmouth. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's intriguing. They're exotic to you. It's like a peacock bass almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Out there just smashing.
I don't know what it is about the guys in, you know, down south catching, you know, Luke Palmer getting second place. You know, he's good all around, but I don't know. I think it's just the passion and the love for him. And I'm not saying that, you know, people other parts of the country don't have that, because I mean, anybody could have won that tournament on St. Clair.
It was close.
But yeah, so you know, I don't know, man. It's weird, but if you want to catch big smallmouth and maybe win a Bassmaster Elite, you need to move to Arkansas.
A little formula going on right there, right?
Yep.
So, would you be as good at smallmouth fishing if it wasn't for live scoping? Or is that even a dumb question at this point? Is that like every angler? You know what I mean? It's like,
well, I mean, I'm just going to say off of my history pre live scope. The last time I fished, not the last time I fished a tournament on St. Clair, but the last, you know, 4-day tournament, that format, I made a top 10 and we did not have forward facing sonar.
That was the FLW Derb?
No, yes, it was FLW Derb, and it was, man, it was, you know, maybe 4 years ago or something like that. I think it may have been the first year I started as a pro actually fishing the FLW Tour. So, no, I think I could still, I think I could for sure still catch them. But live scope definitely, you know, makes it way easier.
Yeah, it seems for sure. It seems to be a the correlation of gathering the apexes of the school, you know, that you can,
yeah,
you can pick them out a little better, with that deal there. So you did decent there at Clare with FLW. How'd you do with the MILFs? You were there with them too, right? Weren't you there with them?
What, I did. So I made, a top three finish on the St. Lawrence River, in one of our tournaments, and I qualified to fish the BPT, the Bass Pro Tour, with them. Like, it was just kind of something they did when I was fishing the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit. And, so I got to fish on St. Clair. We were forced to stay on the American side. Now, I didn't really do well in that tournament. Just didn't get on them there, but that was really the last time I was on the lake.
Do you, speaking of the FLW times, do you remember vividly like your first step into the boat as an FLW tour pro? What was that? That was 17. Is that that far back?
I don't even know, man. I'd have to look it up.
I think I have it. It is 17. Yeah. 17 to 20. You were in.
Okay.
The FLWs. Do you remember that first day at the office?
I don't, you'd have to tell me what tournament it was, what the first tournament I fished. I think it had to have been Okeechobee.
Yeah. And it was just like, I think your first two tournaments were really hard on you in the FLW. Probably. Yeah. They were really hard on you.
Yeah. 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 I was still learning then, man. You know, I didn't have the confidence I did now seeing all these places for the first time. But yeah, that tournament, I don't remember it vividly. I know I didn't do well, but it was just, you know, it was just a learning process for me. You know, it takes guys. I mean, there's people that can jump in and do really well, but it takes you a while. You know, they always say like 5 years or something like that before you can really be like an established pro or something in professional fishing. So
see, that's coming from a rookie right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A rookie on the Bassmaster Elite. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you really are. I mean, let's face it. Okay. Yeah. You've been Durbin professionally since 2017. But I mean, hey, every league is a different deal. There's different animals that you're fighting every league, and these elite guys are a whole different breed, so you're definitely rookie status, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah No, there's no doubt. I mean, the level of competition is went up a lot for me, but at the same time, it's, you know, all these tournaments are, the Bassmaster Opens to qualify to get to the Elite Series were, man, they were grinders.
Like, yeah, bud, especially you got 22 for you. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got way more guys. And it's, you know, I mean, most of the bodies of water were pretty good, but it's just, it's super hard to do well in those. But it's still, you know, the competition level, like you got to perform on the Elite Series. I mean, all these guys are amazing anglers. So, you know,
and especially that, I mean, that last day at Clare, that was like, everybody was just in range, bud, in that top 10. Yeah. That's like, had to be crazy for you. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was crazy. But I say, you know, I told this to a couple people, it was a much more relaxed tournament than when I was at Seminole. When I was at Seminole, I had the lead, 4-pound lead. I'd been in that situation a couple times with a lead, and I was so stressed out. This tournament, I'm sitting in second place. You know, I'm like 10, 11 ounces back, and it was just way more chill. I was just going out. I was going to do the best I can. Didn't have all that pressure. So it was, I enjoyed day 5. And then I had, you know, a tremendous day and had fish jumping in the boat. So.
As everyone said, that's when it's meant to happen. When the Cowboys lassoing them without even touching them. Boom. Coming in. Yeah. They're coming in. Hey, before we move on, we should remind everybody, Joey, that there's two like and share contest tonight on the Stray Cast Show. If you haven't already liked and shared the live Facebook feed, the first one is a wheelbarrow full of flatworms. So that's pretty good. I know you're running low too, so you're eligible for that as well.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So like and share the live Facebook feed. Prize one for one winner can be a Berkley flatworm pack. The other, a whole bunch of packs. The next one is the cool prize, and we entered under pseudonames for this, by the way, because we want to win this too here at the studio. And that is the Joey Cifuentes signed cowboy hat, a retired Joey Cifuentes cowboy hat. Give it up, Bass Galaxy. That's a prize and a half. Like and share the live Facebook feed. Joey's giving it away like a 2-time champion does.
Do it. Like and share. Yeah, this hat that I'm giving away is... it's not the one that I just won 2 tournaments with this year. I'm going to keep that one for a little sentimental value. This is a brand new hat I just got when I got home. But that hat is, I've got 5 or 6 of them sitting in the shop. So we're going to do some more eventually, but this one's, I spent a lot of hours fishing in, and it'll be cool for somebody, and I'll get it signed. And yeah, that's sweet.
That's awesome. Now the lucky hat, the 2 Derb victory hat, will that travel with you? Does it got to go in? I mean, dude, you and your screen changing, you are high production right now, Joey Cifuentes. I love this. Now you're back on St. Clair. I love this.
Okay, so this picture, since we were talking about St. Clair, Shane Durant, he's a photographer.
Whatever. I love Shane.
Picture. Yeah, and I'll just he's turn a my player. Computer. But that is probably one of the coolest pictures I've ever seen.
You look like a superhero.
Yeah, just with the clouds and
like
the sunshine.
Like a cowboy superhero.
It's really cool. I love that picture. I'm going to get it put up in my house by my trophy. It's just, it's awesome. So anyways, let's get back on what we're doing.
Yeah, I already forgot. That's an amazing pick, for real. And your production value so far, I think Andy will agree with me, is the best guest yet as far as production value. You're nailing it. 100% nailing it. Hey, you're a simple bass fisherman, man. You keep things simple and you win. Like your St. Clair victory, looking back, was very simple, right? I mean, let's think about it. You found some very key ingredients that equal big bass. First, you found big bait. It was the perch. You found big stalks, isolated stalks of that cabbage weed, whatever that weed is there on Clare. What is it, Ginge? Perch grass. Okay. And then you found the big water, that depth. It was, were you in like that 16 to 18, I think, right? That, what was it?
18. That, yeah, 17 and a half, 18 foot.
Okay, 18 foot. And that equaled the big smallmouth. A lot of guys, I mean, it seems that, you know, there was a lot of crawfish eaters. Anchor Bay had crawfish eaters. in some of the other spots had, even in that Canadian waters, had the goby eaters and the small perch. But when you saw those mag perch, were you like, yeah, 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 this is it? Was it clicking then?
Yeah, I mean, the fish, I jumped off a 5-pounder at that spot in practice, and it threw up a big magnum perch. So, it kind of clued me in there.
And did you try winding at all in practice for those fish? Could you wind in any of that stuff, or no, it's too thick in those stalks?
You could definitely wind in there. I think I probably could have caught some fish like that, but I just have, as far as getting the fish in the boat, drop shot, I had the most confidence in, and the fish were really scattered out. So it's not like you would see a lot of fish there. They were just here and there. You may troll around for 20 minutes and not see a fish, and then all of a sudden you see one. So I wanted to just look with my life scope and track them down and catch them with a drop shot. I don't lose hardly any fish on that thing. For me, it's a high percentage, getting them in the boat bait. So,
yeah. And while we're talking about it, let's talk about that combo. I like that. Well, tell me, why did you pick the SX out of the Abu line of spin reels? Like, we have access to all of them. There's the from the Xenon all the way to the X. And why did you choose that spinning reel, the SX?
It's just a good all around reel. Not any particular reason. I've got various reels, different ones, but most of mine are Revo X's. It's actually SX.
SX.
I don't know. I've used that reel, the SX, not that reel because it just came out, but I just like it. The drag's good. It's really good. Performs well, casts well. It's not a super expensive reel, so it doesn't break the bank. And, it's just a perfect reel to use in tournaments, man. I mean, I'm trying to say it's dependable. Dependable.
Yeah. And let's face it, though, the reason I brought it up is I usually notice the Abu Garcia guys in these smallmouth tournaments using the super high end reel, like the when we had the MGX or the MG or the Xenon. And I thought it was a cool testimony that you were confident enough in that SX drag to use that Revo SX spin reel during the event. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely good enough. The higher end reels, they're great. They work well. I've got a few of them, but I don't know, man. I don't get particular on things like you were saying earlier. I keep it simple. I don't try and overlook it. I just grab whatever I got and I fish with it. The thing I like about the SX, though, primarily is, when you're a Berkeley Pro, we get a certain little allotment of product, and I can still spend some of my stuff on my other stuff because I don't want to spend all my money on high-end stuff. So that's really one of the main reasons I use it. I mean, just being honest with you.
I gotcha. Okay.
And other reels are great, and they're expensive, and they work great, but all they're from the lowest line of – Abu Garcia reels to the highest. I mean, they're all good enough for me to fish with in the elite series and fishing what I do. I believe so. They're just all really high quality stuff. So.
And I like, again, that's why I brought it up. I like that you chose the SX. I wanted to hear why you did it. And that tells me
that's
the
honest truth.
Yeah, no. And I like that you can load the boat with them with your allocation, and you can still get a bunch of high end rods. You get yourself some Fantistas and some Xenons and still have a whole wheelbarrow full of flatworms from Brad.
I spend most of my money on flatworms.
And that brown back. What's up with that brown back flatworm? It's a good worm, dude, everywhere, not just St. Clair. I mean, every gosh dang smallmouth lake, they like that brown back flatworm.
Yeah, to me, and this is me being simple, I'm a very simple-minded person, I use green pumpkin and something shad, brown back, or the smelt color, but primarily the brown back. It's just, you've got, it's like a shad kind of style color, and then you've got green pumpkin as whatever else that is, just dark and white. I mean, that's kind of how I fish. But it's in a phenomenal color. I think it matches bait fish and whatever else. And it's just awesome. I'll never throw anything else, I don't think.
Yeah. $100,000. Why not?
Yeah.
Are you a good live scoper?
I think I'm probably am. I say, I don't think I'm the best out there by no means, but, I feel confident in it 100%. I think I use it the right way.
What's that mean?
Well, so just speaking on, St. Clair itself, you have to be, you know, I don't know. Some people may get out there and they may be turning their trolling motor head like really fast. Larry Nixon taught me to slow down, and I'm a methodical fisherman. Like, I was so used to back in the day fishing with a co-angler in the back of my boat, and I loved it. Nothing against co-angler guys, it was awesome, but I had to be efficient and I had to catch. If he caught a big one behind me or she, I had to be super, like, I mean, I was going to be upset, but I had to make sure that I caught, you know, everything I
vacuumed could. Them up. Yep.
Yeah. So I think it's really, for me, my success in live scope is being patient and taking my time and looking around and seeing, you know, everything that's there. I think that's really important, especially where I was at in St. Clair and in anywhere in St. Clair where there's grass, because they can hide in those things and there's little clues. Things that you can see that may look like a fish, may not look like a fish, and you got to be able to, you know, throw at that stuff and see it. So, but you have to be going slow. You know, you can't go too fast. So I think that's
a clue. What's a clue?
Live scoping.
Tell me a clue.
Yeah.
What's a clue?
Yeah.
You said you might see a clue.
You know, just like, the fish on live scope, there'll be a, you know, it'll be like a little brighter little ball or whatever. And like, if they're in that grass, you can't turn your head. You know, I got my live scope mounted on my trolling motor. Like if you go through that too quick in that grass, you're not going to see that little faint, you know, hard. It just looks like a hard thing. You know, it's a fish or whatever, but
okay.
So that's what I mean by a clue is like, you know, an actual fish may be kind of hidden, but you could see it.
Just peekabooed. He just peekabooed you a little.
Yeah. He's peekabooing.
Yeah.
Peekabooing in the grass. And so anyways, that's why I said that.
Okay. And if you were cruising along doing that rapid periscope deal, then you wouldn't see him. You'd go right by him.
Well, you'd see fish and you would see some, a lot of them would sit up high. Like they may be midways in the water column, or I saw multiple smallmouth coming up and eating larvae of some sort on top of the water and going down. And I caught some of those fish. You would see fish, you know, in that grass or whatever that you wouldn't normally see is what I'm saying. Or they would be on the bottom tucked in the grass or they might come up just a little bit straight underneath your sonar, like at the very bottom underneath your boat. And I caught numerous 5-pounders throughout the tournament like that. Like, man, there was one right there under the boat and I dropped it down and it was a big one. So
yikes.
And if I would have been blowing through that area going fast or something, I wouldn't have done as well.
Pretty cool, man. Are you good at telling, like St. Clair, I was out with Corey one day and then Seth the next day. And I saw so many 3-pounders. I mean, like just 3-pounder, 3-pounder, 3-pounder. Were you able to tell on your periscope the difference between a 3-pounder and a 5-pounder or a 3-pounder and a 4+, whatever? Could you do it? Or were you just catching everything?
You know, sometimes yes and sometimes no. And what I mean by that is sometimes you can see like, when they go down, more so like not when you first see them, but when you throw your bait at them and then you see the fish like turn and go down your bait, you can see like that's a big one. And especially if they're in that 50-foot range or whatever, when they're a little closer, 60, 80 foot, you could really see like, oh, that's a big one. You know, I could say like that's a big one. But I threw at a lot of stuff that, you know, I mean, you can definitely see size difference in fish. There's no doubt. But I throw I really throw at everything that might could be possibly, you know, a good one. There was probably multiple drum. I caught a bunch of walleye in that turn in, on St. Clair, just to be sure, because sometimes I saw things that looked like walleye and I threw over there and it was a 5 pound smallmouth and they were like, I don't know, it's weird.
Doing but, walleye stuff.
Acting like walleye or whatever. But so I don't feel good enough to just say, oh, that's not a smallmouth. I'm, you know, sometimes I am if it's right, but a lot of times I just throw at everything and I don't know, it's just the way I fish.
No, I like it. So let's say on average on a lake like St. Clair or whenever you're using your live scope, what would you say is the average range that you see the fish first, that you spot them first? Like you said at the 150, 150, you know what I mean? What range do you see them at first, especially on Clair?
So that's a tough question because they all, if they're suspended up, like I said, up a little high or even 3 foot off the bottom, I mean, I could see them out to 120 foot, you know, no problem.
Okay.
I don't know. I would say the average that I saw them was probably at 80.
80 foot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that would be the average because there was some obviously that would just pop up underneath my trolling motor out of the grass. They would kind of, I think what they do is they come up and they kind of, smallmouth are really curious. So they're going to come up and like check and see what you are, you know, a little bit. And they, once they expose themselves, man, I got my eye looking all over that screen.
I like it. Like a cowboy. Hey, do you feel, so as far as the, let me put it this way. Do you feel that the live scope is second nature to you? Like, you know how a trolling motor, I was talking with Seth. Seth and I were talking about this. And like, when you're running a foot control trolling motor, you're not thinking left, right, foot, you know, that you're steering around a dock without looking. Has forward facing become like that for you? Like, oh, I'm popping left, but I don't even know I'm left. And oh, that's at 40 and I can cast 40 without thinking about 40. And has that happened to you? Are you there?
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, 100%, 100%. I can see something and fire a cast out there and know that it's going to be, you know, pretty close to ride on, like, you know, most every time. I mean, I'm not perfect. I don't do it perfect every time, but yeah, it feels second nature to me.
But that takes a minute, doesn't it? I mean, that takes a little bit of time, man. That's second nature, that kind of stuff with this thing.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it does. It really does. It takes practice. I kind of picked it up naturally, was good at it, but, for sure it, for some folks, it takes a while. But you know, when you fish as much as I do and you're going to pick it up and the guys that fish a lot, they're going to pick it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So my father-in-law, on the other hand, he's been a little slower at it, but you know, he's in his 50s and, and he's not good at technology. It's funny, the older generation of folks, it's a little bit tougher for them to get used to. It's just cause, you know, I think younger guys like me, we're just more technologically savvy, if you will.
Oh, yeah. And you got it dialed in. Cowboys always have technology dialed in. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, man, you got to be steady with your foot and you got to think you're standing up too. And you got to be able to turn that thing just right. And I think you need to be, you know, you got to be in shape and you got to be agile a little. You got to have some athleticism.
I
be good at it.
I agree. And I mean, it's a whole different equation, man. It's not thinking about what you're doing and also incorporating, I casted this far, also incorporating rate of fall, also incorporating feel, also incorporating sight, also incorporating the next fish you see over here to the left. It's a whole new thing, bud. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say something real quick. Sure. I've always been good at doing multiple things at one time. You know, like just me, the first instrument I ever learned was the drums. So I could play a full drum set and you got to keep the beat on different feet, you know, your left leg, right hand, left hand, you know, and be able to do different things at once. And so I think that it just come naturally to me. I was just naturally good at it. You know?
I love that you said that too. I started off with the drums as well. And what I always found frustrating was singing and drumming at the same time became difficult sometimes.
Yes.
And that's why I just went to singing and left the drumming away. But anyway, yeah, I get it. Once you can do, when you know, you ever see those guys that like play a drum kit, then play the guitar, then they play the harmonica, then they sing, and then they're smacking a tambourine with their armpits? I mean, I was like, what the heck? That's, those guys would be good live scopers, right?
100%.
The best there is. Man, I know you've been talking about your victory for a while, and I want to recommend Bassmaster.com as well as Jay Kumar's Bass Blaster for in-depth coverage to the detail of your victory. But I mean, bud, let's wrap this up on the St. Clair thing. 22 plus pounds day one, 24 pounds day two, 21 pounds day three, 22 or 23 plus day four. That spells victory. That's crazy. Congratulations on your second Bassmaster Elite Series victory. Smallmouth one. You called it. You said I'm going to win one of these. You won two.
I appreciate it.
You won two. Hey, all right. We have a special guest coming up very soon, but we're gonna get to know you a little bit. Jin, do you want to tell them we're just running a tab? We're running a tab. Okay, thank you very much. Are you okay with it? You want to dig a little deeper, Joey?
Oh yeah, man. I'm good.
Let's get deep. Let's get deep. Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're gonna do like, it's not necessarily, you know, like 20 questions, but it is 20 questions, but it's all over the place. It's kind of like a phone conversation with me. So as 1 minute we'll be talking about bass, and in the next minute we'll be talking about something else. So I kind of want to just ask you a couple questions to get to know you. So the whole Bass Galaxy does. I'm on you. Right there. How's that, Ginge? Pa-boom. Hey, are you a spiritual guy? Are you a spiritual guy, Joey?
I am very much. I am very spiritual. I put all my faith in God, and that's number one in my life. So, yes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you said that. I think when any human puts their strength in it, any other higher power besides themselves, it makes life easier. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just does. Yeah. It's easier that way. It's easier.
Absolutely. And it for me, it's peace and hope. And, you know, life is a struggle. I mean, we all know that. We go through all kinds of crap. And so, yeah, it's my backbone in my life, 100%. It helps me with everything I go through, from, you know, raising kids, marriage, I mean, the whole thing. And I'm just a strong believer in that.
Yeah. I mean, like, and then let's get real. Like your first, like we were talking about before, your first two FLW derbs were really tough, man. If you didn't have faith and confidence, and you might have been like, screw this, I'm just gonna do cattle stuff. You know what I mean? Make this boss hog money. That's what I'm gonna do. Hey, tell me what it was like your Florida times. I know Florida is a plethora of species of fish, and it makes a lot of anglers good fishermen. You know, I see you that way. Tell me about your Florida times.
Man, my Florida times were pretty much all saltwater fishing for the most part.
Okay.
I grew up fishing on the west coast of Florida, north of Tampa, in a little fishing area called Homosassa Springs near Crystal River. I don't know if you've been down there, but nature coast of Florida, snook fishing, redfish, trout fishing. But my grandma lived more inland, and she lived on a lake, a small lake, and we would catch bass. I would go bass fishing. She had this little place there, a lake and a small lake attached to it with a canal. I'd go in there and throw a frog and have giant fish, you know, largemouth blow up on my frog and catch. It was awesome to me. I loved it. So I had a lot of fishing, you know, I did a lot of fishing as a kid, and Florida's just, it's perfect for that. But I got a cool story real quick.
Yeah.
When I was in Homosassa Springs one time, my dad went out with a guide red fishing. We got back, he was cleaning the fish, and there was these big jacks that were like trying to eat the scraps and stuff that he was throwing out there at the dock.
So big Jack Crevels?
We got done fishing all day, and I was like, man, I told my dad, I was like, I want to catch one of those so bad right here. And so the guy gave me a rod. I hooked this fish. It's on a small river there. If you know that place, it's very narrow. There's a bunch of bars and restaurants, and there's people just covered up and down the river.
Yep.
I hook this fish, and it's going across the river. My line's way out. Some guy pulls up. I hop in the boat with him. I'm up there battling this fish. It's crazy. There's people cheering me on. I finally land it and hold it up, and everybody's just going nuts.
Yes.
That was kind of like, I mean, it's really cool because that was, you know, I'm sitting here catching this fish, and I have people cheering on me, and I got to be like 14 years old. I mean, that's like my first experience of.
You start thanking your sponsors, Joey. You were like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so just something that it's funny that happened to me when I was young. And like, here I am, you know, winning a Bassmaster Elite Series tournament, and I got people cheering me on, and it's the same. It's kind of like all coming together, you know, and it's cool.
I saw the thing Bassmaster did with you and the fans, and I thought that was really cool. That was awesome. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Hey, give me a word that describes each of your victories. Two different words, one for each victory. One word.
Okay, Seminole will be relief.
Relief. I like that. I'm laughing at the dating game Gingy's playing in the background.
It's just the first word that came to mind when I thought about Seminole. And then St. Clair would be, I don't know. I don't even know if this is a word. I was going to say like solidify or solidity, if that's a word.
Yeah, maybe. I get the feeling. Sure. Because that's how we feel about you. Yeah. That's how Bass fans feel about you. Yeah, you got two. Solidifying. He's a rookie. That's what I'm saying. Hey, do you know any jokes?
No, not. I don't keep up with a lot of jokes. I mean,
you don't know your dad. You have to know jokes now. I mean, come on, dad's no jokes.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of the jokes, Pat. I'm sorry. I'm more of like the joke myself. just hang around me for a little while, and you'll come up with some jokes or see me do something stupid.
Well, call me on your way to New York when you're in the truck, and I'll tell you dad jokes. You'll get the kid. You'll floor the kids. They'll love it. They'll love it. I'll tell you a bunch of dad jokes. Hey, you hung Sounds around. Good. You hang out with the general quite often, and I don't know if you know this, but Larry Nixon fishes a Texas rig worm a lot. He does. I heard that about him.
Yep.
And I know that you are very fond of worming yourself, especially like shaky heading and stuff. Are you a Texas rig kind of cowboy yourself?
I am. I like to do it more finesse-y.
Okay.
So like one of my favorite rigs that I throw to get bites, and you can catch big fish on it too, especially when you fish around grass, is I'll take the spinning rod, you know, I'll probably use like a 12-pound leader on that, but I'll put a, you know, I'll rig it just Texas rig with a straight shank, you know, rebarb or whatever kind of hook, and just Texas rig it on there with a, you know, bottom hopper worm and fish it like that, you know? So I'm more of a finesse guy for some reason. I love a spinning rod in my hand.
You're not afraid of a spin pole. You told me on Okeechobee when I first met you. I see a Jack and Biggs in the community hall with that spin pole. Gosh, dude, guy's not even afraid of that.
No, you can. I think it's because that's like what I've always used when I was a kid living in Florida. Saltwater fishing was, that's all we used, was spinning rods. And I feel comfortable with a spinning rod in my hand more so than a baitcaster. I don't hardly ever throw baitcasters that much. So
okay, and I see a lot historically. A lot of plastic worm fishermen have actually used spin poles. Man, like look at Tom Mann, bud. Like the rig that you just described is Tom Mann. I mean, that's the deal. Like the 12-pound line, straight worm, slip and sinker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, buddy.
I like it. I like it. And you like that bottom hopper for that, huh?
Yeah, it's a great worm. I mean, straight tail, you know, worm. It just gets a lot of bites. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, it's one of my favorites. And Larry Nixon designed it too. So
yeah.
they don't really, I don't know if his name's on it anymore, but
it's
but,
not, no,
but, it's a dang good worm. I mean, ain't no doubt.
Oh yeah. It catches them. Hey, yeah, I know you're a musician and a singing cowboy and a bass fisherman and all kinds of great stuff. You wear lots of hats, no pun intended. we really only wear one, but no pun intended. But I know you seem like a kind of guy that appreciates a good album. You know, like when you can put on just one CD and every song kicks ass on it. Do you have any of those, cowboy? You got any of those, Joey, that you like to listen to? Like, what's your album that you just let rip in the truck?
So this changes for me, like, month to month. But if I was going to pick one that's in my stuff right now that I'm really listening to hard, will be it'll be a Sturgill Simpson album. I could look on my phone.
Okay.
And it's kind of... So I'm starting to get into some bluegrassy kind of stuff and some old, I love old school, like country Western music.
Yeah,
and
me
this
too.
This one's called The Ballad of Dude and Juanita.
Nice.
And it's by Sturgill Simpson.
I'm writing it down.
And it's more of like a story, really. And he's an excellent songwriter. And it's got some bluegrassy music in it too. And it's got a few songs in it that stuck in my head and just different things like that. So that's kind of what I'm, you know, if I'm cruising, man, and it's kind of boring. It's not boring, but it's different. But I'll range anywhere, man. I mean, I could pull my phone up right now and tell you, I guess a couple, you know, like I may get on a Johnny Cash, like listen to one of his albums and, I mean, just anything, some old classic rock, you know, that I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, we did talk about the classic rock. I want to tell you, I like the direction you're listening to right now. And I want to give you a couple of guys to listen to on the road. OK, so first off, our buddy Billy Strings. If you're not into Billy yet, put you in some Billy Strings and let loose. Go ahead.
I've got several Billy String. I think I got maybe one of his albums on my phone. He is an amazing guitar player. I could listen to him. I mean, especially in that bluegrass realm that he does. But yeah, I love Billy.
Yeah,
I've already got that, Pat. Shoot,
okay,
another one.
Good. Scott H. Byrum. He is a...
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he is a, one of those one-man band guys we were talking about, but most of the time it's just him and a guitar. But he's a Texas chicken farmer. And... he just plays music in the chicken farms. And gosh dang, is he good, Joey. Scott H. Byrum out of Texas. Guy's freaking.
I found him.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. Hootin' and a Hollerin'. I think that's one of his albums.
I love it.
He's pretty good. Hey, when you think of cowboys, who do you think of? Like, I think of Clint Eastwood. I think of... I don't know, call me crazy, Burt Reynolds. I think of Ray Scott. I think of Ray Scott when I think of cowboys. And I think of you now. Like, who do you think of when you think of a cowboy?
So there was a guy in my life. I wasn't really that close to him, but he was pretty much I would say best friends with my dad. He lived in Florida. He was born a cattle farmer, cowboy. I mean, this guy, he was a cowboy, like true and true. I mean, hard working guy on his horse ranches in Florida. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, but there's a lot of big cattle ranches in Florida.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
And,
good fishing.
Yeah. He's just, he's a phenomenal, he was just a amazing person. His whole family had a big influence on me in my life, and that's a cowboy that the first one when you said that, I mean, he's the first guy
real
that came
that's
mind.
A real cowboy. I I'm thinking of like imaginary hero cowboys, and you got a gosh dang real one, like a blood, sweat, and tears cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, lived it every day. You know, I'm Pat, I know people call me a cowboy, but I am not a cowboy. I have a farm and raise cattle. I'm more of a farmer than anything else. I would never consider myself a cowboy just because
you farm cattle.
Yeah, but you know, like that guy, there's a lot of respect for those guys that actually do it, you know, like day in, day out. It's a hard way of life. I mean, it really is doing that. So, I just love my hat. I've worn it for a long time on the farm, you know.
You're a daggum cowboy to us, no matter what you say. You got a cattle farm. You call a farmer, we call a cowboy. You're a 2-time champion. But I get you're whatever you want to be. You know what I mean?
That's fine. I'll be your cowboy, Pat.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, I asked you before, and you told me you love sushi over steak, but I didn't ask you, is that because you don't want to eat your cows or like your pets now? And then you don't want to like, as if
I don't think I ever said I love sushi over steak. I think
I mistaked it.
Maybe I said that. I should never have said that, because that is not true.
Okay, good. In my mind, I was like, wait a minute, it's not making sense. And I'm like, well, maybe it's like, I don't like deep bass. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it was like that. But
if I could take one of my, so we eat our beef. Actually, one of my goals here in the future is to be selling my beef off the farm. Because we have
we
got really, really good quality beef. And if you could take like maybe one of those fillets off of one of my steers and just wrap it like a sushi roll.
Wow.
Yeah, I could do that. I do love sushi. I do love sushi. I love all of it. But no, I can't pick sushi over steak, Pat, man. That's my staple.
That's why I know, and I heard it wrong last time as a Bass and Talk Show host, and I had to clarify it in my own mind, and thank you for getting that straight. Now, there's nothing better than a little surf and turfing, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've actually eaten sushi off of a naked woman before. I'll tell you about that sometime.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You ever throw hard baits? I just went right into that.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I do. I mean, I do. I find myself throwing more plastics now, though.
I know.
Like most of the time, but yeah, I do throw hard baits. I just like throw the Stunna is probably my number one go to hard bait.
Okay,
that's what I'm going to be throwing.
Hank likes that.
I'm probably going to be throwing the Stunna.
Hey, when you're relaxing. And it's relax time. You know what I mean? In between derbs. Obviously, you don't have much relax time when you win, but what's your passion when you're relaxing? I mean, just a lazy, lazy day. I know you like to work hard, but what's a lazy? What's your lazy day?
Lazy day. Man, there's just not any lazy days.
Spoken like a true champion, right?
Yeah. Lazy day would probably be, of course, just watching a good movie, maybe just sitting in my recliner, turn on a good Western, and just kind of just not doing anything and just hanging out and enjoying the air conditioning.
I mean, if I
could just do nothing, I mean, that's what I would do, but it's hard for me to sit around in the house. I have to be doing something at all times. So, and when you live on a farm, you gotta be going all the time, man. Always work to do.
Uh-oh, you know what this means, cowboy? I have an international man of mystery coming aboard right now. He is also a cowboy in his land. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Bassmaster Elite Series Angler Champion Takumi Ito.
Hey.
Takumi!
Hello.
What's going on, bud?
Yes, good.
You're hanging with the cowboy.
Yes, so congratulations, Joey.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, I brought Takumi here because you guys are both smallmouth freaks. Takumi, you love the smallmouth. and Joey loves the smallmouth.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's just something about that fish. And I thought that you guys might like to get together just because of the whole smallmouth vibe. I don't know. So I surprised Joey with an international man of mystery, smallmouth expert, and king of smallmouth Disneyland. That's you, Takumi. You're the king of smallmouth Disneyland.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Joey, this guy was right on your tail. Right on your tail at the derb. I mean, that was a close deal. You had Coop in there, Takumi, everybody creeping up. Of course, Luke Palmer. I mean, that was a crazy event, wasn't it, man? Nuts.
Yeah. Man, he's an amazing fisherman. I mean, I've been, you know, watching him the past couple years. It was nervous. I just knew that, like, he was going to catch, you know, a big old giant string of smallmouth. I mean, a lot of respect for the Japanese anglers that come over. They finesse fish phenomenally, and I think that's why they really excel at smallmouth fishing.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Takumi, we were talking earlier with Joey about how Southern anglers, they don't have a lot of smallmouth, obviously, in there as we do in the north here. And you, of course, being from Japan, don't have a ton of smallmouth there either. So I think it's that exotic, that mystery of the smallmouth that is appealing to both international anglers as well as gentlemen from the south. Would you agree, Takumi?
Yes. So Japanese angler don't have a smallmouth experience. So because U.S. is a lot of smallmouth lake, smallmouth river, but Japan is not so many. So, but Japanese angler have like many finesse bait and finesse techniques. So many kind of finesse techniques so Japanese angler have, because Japan is too much pressure everywhere. So we always thinking about some techniques, some tips. So always thinking many kind of baits I have it.
Yeah, and it's no irony, Joey, that just about every winning smallmouth technique that recreational anglers use, that professional anglers use to catch smallmouth, has come from Takumi's native land. I mean, the Japanese are just ahead of a fish that doesn't even exist there. That's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really impressive that, you know, I know Larry, he went to, you know, just me learning from him, he went to Japan and probably learned a lot of stuff that I've learned from him. So, I mean, yeah, it's really impressive.
And Takumi, you don't meet a lot of guys from Arkansas that are using a bunch of spin poles. You know, Takumi, most of the guys from Arkansas got 7-Eleven flip sticks. You know, and here comes Joey winning tournaments 2 in a row as a rookie. That's amazing.
Yes, very, very amazing. So Joey won 2 times this year.
Yeah.
So very, very awesome. So it's so very good. So large mouse tournament, small mouse tournament won. Very good.
Yeah, you knocked the ball.
You're next, Taku. You're next.
Oh,
baby.
Yes. So hopefully.
St. Lawrence yes. Coming up, Taku.
Yes. Champlain, so some largemouths, so big largemouths there, but
Central Lawrence,
many smallmouths. I like it.
you're ready to go. I could tell. And Takumi, I got to be honest with you. I was a little nervous for you this season, but I'm very happy with your third place finish. And
thank you.
Yes, and we're going. Congratulations on that, by the way, Takumi. Give it up for Takumi, third place.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Good to see you back. I was a little nervous, and now we go in to Champlain and St. Lawrence right up your wheelhouse, because I know, like a lot of anglers, good anglers out there, you're at that cusp for Bassmaster Classic right now,
at
that bubble, and you have to perform well. It's a real thing, Takumi. You have to do well in the last few tournaments. Are you feeling any pressure going into these smallmouth tournaments, Takumi?
Not so much, but I want to qualify next year's Classics. I think Champlain top 10, Central Lawrence top 10, I think I qualify 2024 season Classic. So I hopefully last two tournaments in the top 10.
Yeah. And Joey's going to win it, he told us already. He's going to win the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah.
Takumi, you are a holder of Old Blue, as we like to call it, a Bassmaster Elite Series tournament trophy, the Blue Trophy.
Yes.
And we were talking to Joey earlier about visualizing wins and creatively visualizing success in bass fishing. Do you find yourself, remember when we had you on with Takahiro I think it was your freshman year, your rookie year of the elites, and you and Takahiro were on the show together, and Takahiro was actually telling us a little bit how he studied under Rick Klun and learned to visualize his classic win, actually. Do you do things like that, Takumi? Do you visualize success?
Yeah, so I always imagine I always respect cracked wind run. So always practice hard, fishing hard. So always fishing hard is very important, I think. So I think Takahiro always looking Rick Klun. So Taku always looking crack wind run, because he always fishing hard, practice very early morning start, and the tournament very early morning.
You like Clark. I see what you're saying. Clark Wendlandt is a role model of work ethic and what he's done to achieve success.
Yes.
I like it. And Clark, hey man, that guy still, he kicks ass. He fishes good all the time, pretty much. You know?
Yeah.
Clark's a beast.
Yeah. So I think St. Creaton day three, so rough water. So
oh, yeah.
I use the sheet pole, sheet chair.
Yeah.
But Clark, no use whole day, day three. So. He's a strong leg.
Yeah, his legs are like an aluminum pole.
Yes.
That's why.
Very good. Yes.
Hey, Joey, do you think... oh, not Joey, you're back. Look, Joey's back in the Wild West again. I like it. That's where a cowboy should be. I like that. Hey, Joey, do you think that Takumi smells good to smallmouth? Is that why he... I know he's all about the scent. Do you think he smells good himself? Like that he's got that smallmouth appeal?
Yeah, he's got that blueberry flavor.
Yeah, he does. It's like, Takumi, you're always coming up with something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you got that nori stuff. Last year, you had the sauce that looked like it was like sushi or fish marinating and stuff. See, Joey loves sushi, by the way. Joey loves the stuff.
Nice.
And now this year, you got the powder. We thought it had to be passed for contraband. You passed all the tests there at BASS. Bowman put the stuff on it. It didn't turn blue. So it was all good. I saw Cops episodes. There it is right there. What in the heck is this powder you're putting on the smallmouth stuff, Takumi? Whoa, careful. Careful.
I think smallmouth like a smell, right? So
yeah.
Like a Joey called Max sent on gulp juice, right?
Yeah, Max.
So,
yep.
And Joey won St. Clair. So I always try to many Japanese kind of powder, like a liquid, many kind of scent. I always try to.
Yeah, you're concocting it.
Yes. So practice. I think practice no matter don't need it, because not fresh, not so much pressure. tournament day one too, but tournament day two, day three, day four, so much pressure. Like St. Clair is a mini bus, very, very scared. Many people cast on the bait. And, yes. Every angler uses facing sonar.
Yes.
So easy to cast across the fish. So I try to many kind of liquid, many kind of powder, and so sometimes easy to bite, easy to reaction. So fish looking and easy to bite.
I like it. And you're always looking for an edge, Takumi. You are, Taku's always got an edge. And the powder, like when it goes in the water, it forms like a gel and then the scent adheres to it, right?
Yes, yes, like a jelly. So usually this one, like a powder, is a baby powder, like a crappie.
Yeah, yeah.
Fry.
Yeah.
But into the water, like a jelly. So very, so like a, always like a skin. Bait right here and the powder.
Yeah, scent trail. Yeah, like chumming for sharks, like on Shark Week. Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Now, Joel, you imagine if we put that with our Mac scent, it's just it's lights out. We're it's a scent overload. It's a scent perception overload. We'll catch everything. Yeah.
I'm gonna ask Taku if he'll give me some for Champlain.
Oh, will you give the champ some powder? How much is that stuff? You sell? Why's that? How much that powder go for on the streets?
What do you mean?
How much is that stuff? That powder?
This is, I think, just a tender something, but not sell now. So I think this year's selling starts on this one.
Oh, I see. You're just giving away the first sample free. That's how you do it. I see. Yeah, I spend on time on the streets. I know you're kind. Tickle.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's awesome. I mean, and it evidently works. You're always coming up with something as far as a scent trail to trick smallmouth because they're your favorite. Plain and simple. Hey, so how about before we get out of here? Well, let me ask you this. Joey, you got any questions that you would like to ask Takumi? Or Takumi, do you have anything you'd like to ask Joey about his victory? You guys got any St. Clair questions for each other?
Oh, yes, I have it. So, Joey, the spot is so many smallmouths, like Anchor Bay is a... So many Anchor Bay is a mini bass, so but many people fishing, so Anchor Bay. But Joey's spot is not so many people, but so many bass.
Right. Yes. Oh, it's the south in Canada. Okay.
Oh.
Yes. So my spot didn't have a lot of fish, like you said. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was nobody else there fishing but me. And I think that why there was no one else but me was because there just wasn't a lot of fish. So, but the quality was there. The bigger fish was there, and that's when I fish tournament. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to catch a lot of fish. I'm looking for big fish, and I only need 5 bites a day to do well. So that's kind of my mentality in that tournament.
Like it. He went for that 5 bigs mentality. Awesome.
Up. Nice.
See that? You like that? Yeah. You like that, Takumi? That mentality, 5 bigs.
Yes, yes. Very important, I think. So
it's a gamble, though. That was a gamble on Joey's part, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I practice in the Canadian side, but all fish like a skinny, so I couldn't find a big fish, so Canadian side. So big one, but pretty skinny, 4.5. It's so hard. 5 pounder for us.
He found them eating big perch, too, Takumi. They were eating magnum perch is those winning fish he caught.
I got a question for Takumi.
Yeah, buddy.
I noticed on your trolling motor, you had 2 transducers. You had a LSV 34, and then you had a big
Yeah.
A big, what is that?
This is a LSV-62 ocean transducer. Yes. Oh, very big.
Yes.
Yeah. So this year I start try to 62 and the double four. So 34 is 100 feet, and the 62 is 150 foot four.
Oh, yes. I see what he's doing now. Okay.
Yes. But I tried this year. I think next year I have no use because I'm very confused. And I try this year, but I cannot see very well. So tournament, I shut off 62.
Okay.
Only one graph. This year I try to, but I think next year the 234, one trolling motor and the one rotator, I will try. Okay. Yes, next year.
Where's the other one, Takumi? Mm-hmm. You had one on the trolling motor and one what, did you say?
Rotator, anchor spot.
Oh, on the shaft. Yes, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So I noticed.
Target frog.
I'm with you. I noticed some of the anglers mounting the forward facing live scopes on their jack plates.
Yes.
And idling with them.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes help, but so rough water and many tree and the big water, so not perfect because. Big water is idling, so cannot see very well, very, very hard. And the big water driving, easy to break.
Yeah, knock it off. They carry 20. So, I saw Fujita going through them. He was going
Yeah. Nah. This year, I 5 times changed the bracket because Sabine, the big water driving, the transducer come off. So sometimes... very dangerous.
Get a little wild.
Yes, transducer is expensive, but easy broke. So I try to now, but not perfect. So every year I will try to, this is the best, this one the best. So
keep an eye on him, Joey. Keep an eye on him.
Oh, I got an eye on him. Don't worry about that.
Hey, do you get along with that Fujita guy, Takumi? Do you hang out with Fujita at all? Are you guys buds? I mean, I know you're both from Japan. Do you hang out with Fujita much or no?
So Koya is a good guy, but Koya is always a secret guy.
Oh,
so
he's one of those guys. Yeah.
Yes, everyone don't know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I didn't know. He seemed kind of keep to himself. I don't see you guys hanging out all the time. I didn't know if you guys got in a bar fight once or something in Japan and were trying to work things out on the Elite Series. I didn't know.
It wasn't a bar fight. It was probably some kung fu.
They were going at it. These guys are going at it. Yes. Here's something exactly. I know that both of you guys are freaks about, and that's the smallmouth bass. And Takumi, I think you know, in America, we love game shows. We love dumb game shows in America. Do you guys like game shows in Japan? You got lots of game shows in Japan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, what we're going to play right now on Straycast is a bass fishing game show all about the smallmouth bass. That's a deal. And then if you didn't already, Takumi, make sure you like and share the live Facebook feed because you can win one of Joey's signed hats. And I would love to see you wearing one of those cowboy hats for the remainder of the Northern Swing. A signed one. It's a sweaty one, too.
Yes.
He's giving it away. All right. Do you want to play a game show? And this is basically like a best 3 out of 5. And it's all about your guy's favorite fish, the smallmouth bass. All right? Let's do this. Now, I'm going to leave it up to the champ. Do you want to go first, champ, in answering the questions, or do we give it to Takumi? Who goes first out of you two Bassmaster Elite Series smallmouth?
I think we go Takumi first.
Okay. So, Takumi, I'm going to ask you a question and give the answer. There's 5 questions. The mm-hmm. The best three. Andy, what did they win? Yeah, they wins. Andy's working on a special smallmouth sauce. He's gonna. Mm-hmm. He's gonna yes, it's from Lake Michigan water. You're gonna love it. But that's the first edition, and something else. We got a Stray Cast shirt for you. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Ginge, you ready? Ah, yes. It's the first edition ever of the smallmouth, whatever the heck this is, game on the Stray Cast Show with Takumi Ito and Joey Cifuentes, smallmouth champions. Takumi, the first question for you is, what is the scientific name for the smallmouth bass? Do you know that answer? The scientific name.
What is this scientific name?
Didn't you ever watch The Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny? You know what I mean? Like the scientific name, like Microtopius Campolachius. You know what I mean? Like the
Roadrunner is a Bugs Bunny.
Exactly. You don't know the scientific name? Do you know, Cowboy?
I don't know.
Okay, you Ginger buzzed you. The Ginger Ninja buzzed you. Now we go to the Cowboy. Do you know the scientific name for the smallmouth bass?
I have zero idea.
Zero idea. Question one, a complete flop. Microtopteris dolomieu. Microtopteris dolomieu. Yes, that is the scientific name for the smallmouth bass, Microtopteris dolomieu. Yes, yes, it's very fancy when you say it that way. But it's better when you're just like, got a big old brown one, instead of, I have a giant Microtopteris dolomieu. You know, it doesn't sound as good. But you know what I mean. So anyway, Andy, give them both a zero. Both these champs zeroed up. All right, so, okay. Giving it to you now, champ. We're bringing it back to you. Champ, the question to you is, at what age does the smallmouth bass begin its reproductive cycle? What age does the smallmouth bass start to reproduce? There's a range.
It's a range?
Yeah, it's a range. But you could give any number in there, and I'm cool with it. The studio audience will be fine.
This will be a complete guess, since I'll say three.
Three?
I don't know.
You know what? That is the right answer. That is correct. You have... he got it right. The smallmouth bass starts spawning at ages 2 to 4. From ages 2 to 4 in their life cycle is when the smallmouth bass starts to spawn. So we're learning. This is
an educational show
now. Look at this. Look what we're doing. All right, you're going to like this one. All right, now are you keeping the ball in this game of horse, Cowboy? Or are you passing it to Takumi? What are you doing?
I'm going to pass it to Takumi.
Oh, you're passing it. Okay, it's your turn, Takumi. Here's the question. Okay. You ready? All right. How old does a smallmouth usually live to be? So what is the life expectancy of the Microtopteris dolomieu, smallmouth bass? Life expectancy. How old does a smallmouth live to be?
12 years old.
How many, sir?
12.
12 years. That is not correct, but you're close. Close. Cowboy, you want to guess?
I'll go with 11.
No.
Oh, you went the wrong way.
Yes, they are both. So listen, you champs are not getting this. They're 15 to 18 years old.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So those big. Now get this. A 20-inch smallmouth. The average age of a 20-inch smallmouth, 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. It says in the 12 to 15 range for a 20-inch smallmouth. Now, you remember the guy caught that big one in Erie not too long ago? It was like a 9-something.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? You know what I'm talking about? It was like what was it, Ginge? 9-3? Or 10-2?
He caught it twice, right?
Yeah, 10-2. I'm sorry, it was 10-2 once. My bad. That fish was 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Small bus can get a driver's license, right? Wow, nice.
You're right. The American small mouth at 16 gets a driver's license. You're exactly right, Takumi. Awesome. See, Takumi knows jokes, cowboy.
Yeah, he's good. He's got way more jokes than I do.
All right. So this one, so where are we at, Ginge, on this? We have 2-0s and a one. Cowboys on the one. I'm giving it to Takumi. Right? We're going to go to Takumi on this one again. Mm-hmm. Takumi?
Yes.
Do you know anything about the world record smallmouth bass? And what we're looking for is either the state it was caught in, the lake it was caught in, or the weight. Do you know any of those?
8.85.
No, you're so off, Takumi. It's giant. We just remember a 10.2 is at Erie, so we know it's
10.2. Okay, more.
Yeah, more. Greater than 10.2.
12.
Lower by an ounce.
More.
Lowered by an ounce.
12.15.
11.15. You got it right, Takumi. Yes. Oh.
11.15?
You got it right. 11.15, Dale Hollow. A lot of controversy. It could have been the first fish ever stuffed with weights. We don't know. But we can find out more about that on the Big Bass Podcast with our buddies over there at the Big Bass Podcast. Hey, all right, now get this one. It's for all the marbles on the first ever smallmouth bass fishing game show on Straycast. And we're sending it to the champ. Champ, it's for all the marbles. We need to know, where is Smallmouth Disneyland? Yes, I'm asking you, Joey. Where is Smallmouth Disneyland?
The origination of Smallmouth Disneyland?
Where is Smallmouth Disneyland? I mean, we don't even know. It could be multiple places. Is there multiple locations? Where is it? Where is this Smallmouth Disneyland? Is there more than one? I don't know. How much does it cost to get in? I want to fish there.
I think the original Smallmouth Disneyland is the St. Lawrence River or, you know, the Thousand Islands region.
That's where they live. Do you agree, Takumi? Is that the spot? I mean, is there just the biggest schools ever on the St. Lawrence Thousand Islands?
Yes, correct. Yes, correct.
So if a person wanted to go smallmouth bass fishing, they should probably head that Thousand Island way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And my boat. My boat always smallmouth fishing.
That's right.
Yes, always.
Oh my gosh, that is outstanding. That is amazing. Hey, Ginge, let's give away some prizes while we have. You both won, by the way. Everybody's a winner on Straycast. We're gonna send both of you. I'll get you guys both. I'll see you at St. Lawrence and hook you up with some Straycast shirts. How's that? So let's give away prize here before we get out of here. And Takumi, would you like to give away a lucky viewer? Would you like to give away one of Joey's hats tonight? Joey's giving one up to the audience, and you can announce the winner if you'd like, Takumi.
Yes, I want.
Okay, cool. You can, and if you want to say yourself, you can. I don't care. I'll turn my back to this whole thing, and you can be the winner. But Ginge, can you text him the deal? Andy's going to text you the winner's name, okay, Takumi?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we can give you a drum roll or a medieval fanfare to announce the winner, whatever you want. You want a drum roll, like a good old-fashioned American drum roll?
What is a drum roll?
A drum roll is like, well, how about we just show you? You want to know? You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Drum roll. Yeah, that's Joey's playing drums. Joey's a drummer, too. That's a drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Joey C. Puente signed cowboy hat given away by Takumi is, who won, Takumi? Who's the winner?
Next tournament?
What? Who?
No.
Oh, it's on your phone. It says it on your phone.
Okay, yes, I will.
Yeah. But you can predict the next winner of the next tournament, too, if you'd like.
Yeah, this is good. This one?
Yeah, that one. Can you pronounce it, or is it a tough one?
Rick Carter.
Rick Carter, not Nick Carter. from whatever that was. But Rick Carter, you are the winner of the Joey C. Fuentes Cowboys signed hat. That's amazing. Holy cow, Takumi, you just made Rick Carter's night, and so did the Cowboy. Yikes. Oh. Yikes. All right, Cowboy, it's time to give away a wheelbarrow of Maxent. You can win this too, Takumi. I know you're Norries, but you could still win the Maxent. It's okay. It's all right. And so we're going to give it away. We're going to do this. Compliments of Brad Rutherford and the good people at Berkeley Fishing. You take it away, Joey. Take it away.
Oh, we got, am I supposed to have a text? I do have a text.
Yeah, you got to say hear he, the winner is.
Hear he, the yes. Winner of the, I don't know how many flatworms, but it's probably going to be pretty good. Jerry Borabon, or yeah, B-O-R-I-B-O-U-N.
Borabon, Jerry Borabon.
Jerry Borabon.
You won a whole bunch of flatworms. And then Rick Carter, he won the cowboy hat. And both of you guys win at the Straycast game show. And Joey's got two blue trophies. Takumi's got one blue trophy, going for another blue trophy. And both of you are on your way to success, no doubt about it. Thank you, both of you, for hanging out with us tonight, guys. That was a good time. And Joey, I learned a lot about you. I learned a lot about you. And I don't know. I can't wait for you to win again, Joey. And when you're at home, we're jamming. Next time, because I don't know if you know this, but Takumi and I used to have a band too. Remember when we had a band, Takumi? You and I and Takahiro? We played,
yes.
Remember, we played guitar and we're singing?
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, that was we had a band. This is not a true story I made up. This is real, Cowboy. This is real bass fishing talk show stuff. I know you've done a few talk shows, but none like this. This is the one where we sing. So we're not going to sing tonight, but next time, Joey, we're jamming. We'll have Takumi in here. We'll get everybody. Big jam.
Sounds good.
Big old jam. What do you think about all that? Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it. Let's do it. Hey, Bass Galaxy, give it up for these two. And best of luck, you guys, on the Northern Swing, man. Smash them. Smash them. Takumi, bring home another blue, would you?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Takumi Ito and Joey C. Fuentes. I like to say Joey C. Fuentes. It's so fun. Thanks,
that's
boys.
Thank you.
Spanish in me.
I like it. The third. Joey C. Fuentes, the third.
It's spicy.
Spicy. Joey C. Fuentes, the third, on the Northern Swing of the Smallmouth Spice. Peace, boys. Be good. I'll see you in New York. I'll see you in Sizzle Chess in New York. Hey. Excellent. I like those guys. Smallmouth gurus. Gingy, next week we're working on something that could be really cool. I don't know. I'm trying to pull it off, get it together. I hope it works. It's going to be really cool. It's a long time coming. But anyway, it's been a fun show. Got a cowboy hat giveaway in the Berkeley Flatworms. Learned about cowboys. Learned about smallmouth contraband powder. We learned about all kinds of stuff. It's Stray Cast. It's the glorified version of a bass and talk show. There's a lot of different podcasts out there. A lot of shitty podcasts. And I'm happy that our shitty podcast floats. Our shit floats. It's okay, Ging. You know what I mean? As long as it does. Hey, Bass Galaxy. We love you. We thank you. And it's been another amazing edition of the glorified version of a Bass and Talk show. Hey, next week, same Bass time, same Bass channel. I bid you peace. I bid you. I'm Pat Renwick. This has been an Andrew Ellenberger Ginger Ninja production.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Straight Cast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. Peace!